The name of the sermon today is The Book of Gifts. The Book of Gifts. I watched a most remarkable movie sometime back with the title The Ultimate Gift with James Garner, Lee Merriweather, and Abigail Breslin. It is a story of one Howard Red Stevens who has died and left a videotaped will. Mr. Stevens is a billionaire, having made his money in oil and real estate over the span of his life. It seems that much of his family is dysfunctional and or extremely self-serving and downright greedy. Red's favorite in the family is his grandson Jason, who, like many in the family, has just drifted through life without any real direction or values. Kind of like us before we were called. All this changes when Red sets Jason on a journey to receive a number of gifts, 12 to be exact, on his way to the ultimate gift of his inheritance. Each task he has set before him is the gift. What I found remarkable about all this was that each gift was biblical. Each has something God has given each of you. So each gift that he's giving to Jason is gifts God has given to you. He has recorded these gifts in the Bible, which for this sermon can be called the Book of Gifts. We are going to briefly explore each of the 12 gifts mentioned in this movie, plus two more, which are truly ultimate gifts. My purpose today is to show you the 14 gifts God is giving us and has given us, as recorded in his Book of Gifts. First, I want to establish the fact that God is a gift giver. All through the Bible, you will see God giving us gifts. Remember, the Bible is the handbook to the salvation process. So he's put you in this process and he's giving you gifts all along the way. I looked up the phrase, God giveth, and found 58 verses. There are 14 verses for gift of God. There are scores of promises of God, and many people have written books on the subject of God's promises, which are gifts to us. Look at John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 16:23-24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Very verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hereunto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. So not only is he giving us what we have asked for, but he's doing it in a way that will result in our joy. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the ultimate gift from him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we're going to go through the 14 gifts, and this is going to be a very simple sermon. We're going to name the gift, and then I'm going to give you some scriptures, just a few scriptures on each one, two and three scriptures for each one of the gifts God has given to us. So this is a very easy sermon in its construction, because I give you the gift, and then I give you the scriptures. The first gift that he gives us is work. Work. Turn to Proverbs 10:4. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." By the way, what does it mean, work of the Lord, when it refers to you? All the elements of the salvation process, that's the work he's given to you to build the character of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, "Let him that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And in there lies a couple of gifts, not only the fact that he's given us work, but that we can then give to those in need, and that is a gift, let me tell you. Doing something nice for somebody, and it doesn't have to cost you money to do that. We have that edification list, but there's lots of things you can do. You can pray for a person, but all of these things are things that you can give to them that needeth, and the result is a gift to you. I gave a whole sermonette on that, on it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why would that be? Because, and I list five things in there why it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it all of those things, it said more blessed to give, those blessings are gifts. The second gift we have is money. Money. God gives us money. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes 5, back there in the Old Testament, one of the smaller books. I enjoy seeing people that have tabs on their Bible. They can get to these books right away. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 19, "Every man also from whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor." You'll see this dovetailing here in the gifts. "This is the gift of God." The commentary says, "which include the whole of man's substance, all of his estate, his personal and real, and all of his goods and possessions, movable and immovable, as gold, silver, cattle, fields, and farms, which are all the gift of God, by whatsoever means they may be acquired or possessed." The commentary for the phrase, "this is the gift of God," says, "to have such power over his substance and not be a slave to it, and to enjoy the fruits of his labor in a cheerful and comfortable manner, this is as much the gift of God as the riches themselves." So do you see something going on here? You're going to see this as we go through all of these gifts, that you're going to receive, and you have received the gift, and then there's gifts that pour out of that gift. And I see that all the way through. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 17, "speaking to the children of Israel going into the promised land, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his fathers, as it is this day." The third gift is friends. Friends. The word friend in its various forms appears more than 100 times in the Bible. God says much about the subject. One of the first gifts God gave man was a friend. Genesis 2:18 says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him," in this case, a matrimonial companion. What is the best gift of friendship that we could have? Of course, Jesus Christ, willing to give and share his friendship with us. John 15:14. John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You'll see that with a lot of the gifts too. As it was in the movie, you're given a gift, but you're also given responsibility and commands much of the time. So you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What does God say about the benefits of friends? Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Wow, how does that work? Well, it works because you are building yourself up in Christ. So by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, Christ working in and through you, he is bringing you to something called maturity and responsibility, and you're able to help your friend. And your friend is doing the same thing. Your first set of friends being also in the salvation process, then it could involve family, whether they're in the process or not, and then the friends you have in the world. Proverbs 27 and verse 6, so we're staying in the same chapter there. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The John Gill says, for the phrase, faithful are the wounds of a friend, that is, friendly reproofs, which, though they may be severe, at least thought so, and may grieve and wound and cause pain and uneasiness for the present, yet proceeding from a spirit of love, faithfulness, and integrity, and designed for the good of the person reproved. So we're talking about faithful are the wounds of a friend. We're talking about the reproof, the advice, the help you get from your friend. And it says in the commentary there for that phrase that, yeah, it might be painful, but it will give way to the gift in the spirit of love, faithfulness, and integrity, and designed for the good of the person reproved, ought to be kindly received. You know, and I've been on both ends of that. I've helped others, and many people have helped me through my journey in the salvation process. I talk about the salvation process as you being in a room. There's only two other beings in there, Jesus Christ and God the Father. But you're being, there's windows in the room, and encouragement is coming through the windows. From your friends, from the ministry, from the Word of God. Of course, the Word of God is in the room with you. The fourth gift, learning. Learning. So God gave us the capacity to learn things. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. And he's giving us learning because he wants us to be wise. He says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And where it says man there, he's talking about men and women. So he's talking about that man there is like mankind and not just man. Okay. And what gift do we have to get this learning? John 17:17. So in Proverbs 1:5, he says that we will increase our learning and get understanding and wise counsels. But what gift do we have to get this learning? So gift is helping gift here. John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he's given us a great gift. This thing I'm calling for this sermon, the book of gifts, is in itself a gift. So the word of truth is the great gift that God has given to us. 1 Timothy 2:4, and I'll go online to this posted copy of this, which is already posted, And I'll put in a link to our lesson on 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so where is that knowledge going to come from? It's a gift of God. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. This is a gift coming our way for mankind in the future. So this idea of learning will be continual. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a key verse in my sermon, Full Immersion, as in full immersion into the Word of God. And here he's likening it. So I called that sermon about getting into the Word of God on a continual basis. I call it full immersion, as when you were baptized, you went into full immersion. Well, look how he describes how the Word of God is going to go forth in the millennium as the waters cover the sea. That's called full immersion for the whole world. The fifth gift, problems. Oh, could we do without this one? No, it's actually good for you. Problems. Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14 and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you see something going on in that verse? There's a couple of gifts, of course. I'm losing my voice here. He is giving us the problem. He says there's no temptation that you're going to run into that isn't common to man, but God is faithful. He's allowing that temptation, but then he gives you a gift in the middle of that temptation. And the temptation is he makes a way of escape. Now, what is this way of escape? Well, it's going to depend on the temptation, I guess, but what it is the Word of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to make that way of escape. Now, there's principles all through the Bible that will get you past any temptation. And, interestingly, God will show you things in earth that will help you overcome the temptation. We can have a long talk about how that works. It says that you may be able to bear it. So why the problems? Well, he wants you to learn something. Sort of like the movie, he's giving his grandson Jason, I would say this is a problem. He's sending him on a journey to receive these 12 gifts. That's sort of a problem. It's a thing that he has to deal with, but it all comes out for his good. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, by the way, this is a key verse that I use all the time to show you how the salvation process works. And this is a verse that even the commentators have trouble with because they can't understand it. But we understand it. I understood it the first time I saw it and was blown away by it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Anybody ever ask you, what is this deal of the salvation process? How does it work? This is it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you see at the end of the verse, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are going through the salvation process. Now when it says, and I got a whole sermon on this, But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass in the glory of God, you know what that's talking about? That's talking about you immersing yourself in the Word of God. So it's talking as if you open up the Word of God, you've got it before you, and you're reading the Bible. You're going through the Bible. You're meditating on its parts. You're going through various meditations and prayer and these kind of things. And you're bringing in all of this knowledge. And it says the more you do that, the more you're changed into the image of God. And that's what the salvation process is all about, becoming like God. And then it says something very interesting. It says from glory to glory. What's that? That's what the world does not understand. The commentaries won't give you either any explanation of glory to glory or any right explanation about what that is. And I mostly run into the commentators, they don't know what it means. Glory to glory, that's just simple for us. It's every time you manifest the Holy Spirit. Every time you do a work of edification, every time you manifest a fruit of the Spirit, that's a glory. Because when you do that, God gets all the glory. So you're creating a glory that goes to God. That's what that's about. So we go from glory to glory. That shows process, and it shows that you're going to go through this many times. But that's how that works. So that is a key verse for the salvation process and exactly how it works. And it's a gift. Are you telling me that if I open the Bible and immerse myself in it on a regular basis, that I'm going to be changed into a great gift, meaning to becoming like God? Gift number six. Family. God has really, He set up everything around the idea of family. Wait till we get to the millennium. You are going to see Him manifesting society based on family. We're going to go back to family compounds back in the millennium. And so you'll see that. I wish we had them today. Because man has been making himself lonely and alone, despite friends and, you know, and being married and this kind of thing. But in the overall, we're losing something by not having the family compound idea, where you grow up from a child with your father and mother and grandfather and grandmother and great-grandfather and great-grandmother and all the siblings, all the cousins. Everybody's right there in the compound. Genesis 2:4, God created the family. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. All these are living metaphors. How many times have I told you that, you know, man, woman, family, marriage, sexual intercourse, children, all of those are living metaphors of something we're learning about God. Matthew 19:4-6, this is God created marriage and sex. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 4, and He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. So what are we doing when we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, according to that verse I gave you, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18? You are becoming one with God. So verse 5 again, and He said, for this cause shall a man leave the father and mother, and shall cleave to the wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And Genesis 1:28, God created and gives man offspring, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on earth. Gift number 7. Laughter. Laughter. Every time I go out into the world, I ask God as a part of my assiduity praying, because I'm putting everything into God's hands. I said, let me be a light out there. And when and as you know, I go to the Bellagio Hotel twice a month, and I always ask God, let me be a light down there. And one of the things they say that they like about me is I make people laugh. I bring joy and laughter into their lives. Job 8, 20-21, does God give us laughter? Job 8 and verse 20, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. So this concept of humor, and not all the humor in the world is necessarily good, but there is good humor, especially if you go looking for it, you'll find it. And do you not think that God laughs? God laughs. Genesis 21, remember God said, let us make a man in our image to include all of the attributes. And so God gave us laughter, and God laughs himself. You'll see that in person one of these days. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Beginning at verse 5. A specific example of this gift given to somebody. So in Job there, I said that God has given us laughter, filled our mouth with laughing. Here you're going to see that gift given specifically, Genesis 21, beginning in verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said unto him, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So if you can be humorous, if you can find humor in things, this is good. Let's go to Luke 6:21. Laughter as a blessing. Laughter as a blessing in Luke 6 and verse 21. Blessed are they that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. I will bring you the laughter. So he's going to let you find humor in this world you're walking through. And let me tell you, laughter can heal people. There's a famous story of a man who was in the hospital with terminal cancer. And he decided that he was going to try God out on this. And so he brought in videos of comedy, movies that were comedies. And this was done way back in the 30s. So the videos he brought in were like Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers, this kind of thing. And the man ended up being healed from his cancer by the laughter. Psalm. Let me see. Yeah, Psalm 126 and verse 2. Psalm 126 and verse 2. This is Cyrus frees the Jews from captivity so they can build a temple again. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. By the way, the laughter and singing go hand in hand. If you're drawn to laughter, you're probably also drawn to singing, music. Gift number 8. I love this one. I do it often. Dreams. Gift number 8 is dreams. Proverbs 29:18, and you all know this one. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, the word of God makes us to dream. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So these dreams are talking about visions. You realize you can have a vision if you immerse yourself in the Word of God, because you're going to be reading about visions other people had, and what's going to come to your mind? That vision. God is uses visions now. He puts things in our dreams. That's why I keep a pad and paper nearby my bed. Some of my best ideas, be they spiritual or for the world, for my house, for my job, whatever it is, some of those come in the dreams. So allow yourself to dream. I dream in color, and the good dreams I remember. And the bad dreams, I lay back down and change the dream. So if I have a bad dream, I lay back down and change the ending. Which is another gift of God. You can change the ending. And why would God allow you to do that? I mean, there's people that are really good at this. I think I'm getting good at it, where God has made it so you can, you wake up from a bad dream, just lay back down and change it. By the way, I not only dream in color a lot of the time, I also dream in, I dream in like it's real. I mean, I wake up from some of these dreams and they feel like they were real. I was really there, you know. It's really fantastic how that works. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. See, he does everything by the power of his Holy Spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So this is really fantastic. Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, see, it's in Acts 2:17 and Joel 2:27, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So you got it in the Old and the New Testament. Here's some quotes on dreaming. Dream as if you'll live forever. Live as if you'll die today. Keep your dreams alive. Understand, to achieve anything requires faith and believe in yourself. Vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe. And when I say there, belief in yourself, I'm talking about belief in yourself as God is working in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So now you're not just believing in just yourself and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You have belief in yourself. I have belief in what God is doing with me. You'll see that in a quote at the end of this sermon. Here's another quote. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. The next gift is gift number 9. Giving. Giving. This is one reason we have the edification log over at the Las Vegas site. Giving, well, 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? This verse shows us that all of these gifts come from and or originate in love. So this is a fantastic thing, and it goes to that adage about giving to your brother. What brother? Should I give to every person who's begging for money on the street? If you'll notice this verse, and also where Jesus is talking to the disciples when he said, I was sick and I hungered and I was in prison and all of these things, there's a very key part of this. It says right here in 1 John 3:17, and seeth his brother have need. So you can do anything you want with everybody who's asking, but you should be clear out there that there are scam artists that are out there doing this too, and not everybody who's begging money. And you can go on YouTube and you can see people begging for money and then later getting in their BMWs to go home. And in some of those cases, you'll see where the policeman intercedes. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, look at that. He's giving you this admonition, this command to give, and then I'll give you a gift. And it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There was a guy, and he was coming home from the feast, this last feast, and he saw some people standing at the road. Now, this guy didn't have a lot of money, but he saw some people standing at the road near a gas station. So this guy, from the way the story is told, he had pulled into the gas station and gassed up on his way home from the feast. And as he left, he saw some people standing by a truck, a pickup truck, with a sign. And all it said was gas, as if they were asking for gas. So this guy was moved by that. Clearly he saw that they had need of it. If they didn't, then their tank is going to overflow, so it wasn't a scam, I guess you would say. And so the guy chose to fill their tank. So he rolls down his window, he tells them to go into the gas station and get, and I'll put some gas in your car. Well, like I said, this guy didn't have a lot of money, but the guy was asking, how much gas can I put in? And he looked up, and he says, yeah, I'd do another gallon. And then I guess the total on that gas fill up for this guy was like approaching $50. That's a lot of money. The guy didn't have $50. Put it on his credit card. Well, this guy goes home from the feast, and the first thing he does is he gets his mail. He went and got the mail. In there was an unexpected check for $48.80. So, what does the verse say? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor, and you understand and you know that they're poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and he which hath given, will he pay him again. And that is the way that works. You give and it will come back to you. There we used to have a minister, and one of his favorite things to say was, you can't outgive God. This doesn't mean go crazy and give away everything you have. However, as you have opportunity, and sometimes you'll have the opportunity, but you might have to walk out on faith. Like this guy I told you about, he didn't really have a whole lot of money. He had credit, so that's what he used to get these people some gas. But he goes home and the money's waiting for him. Which means the money was probably there before he gassed up these people's car. The next gift, gift number 10, gratitude. Where does the gift of gratitude originate? Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, same book, next chapter. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Notice the tagline on this verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you have also been called in one body, and be you thankful. Isn't that funny? This whole sermon is about gifts that God is giving to you. I would think that you would want to say thank you to God. I'm saying thank you to God continually from the time I wake up until the time I go, and I know you do the same. But, and be you thankful. When we show praise, another word for gratitude that you'll find in the World English Dictionary, what are we doing? And what does God say will be shown? Well, let's look at Psalm 50, verse 23. So the question here is, when we show praise or thankfulness, what are we doing, and what does God say will be shown because of it? So, you see, he's given us a gift. This is another gift that gives rise to another gift. That's why he gave us all these gifts. We use these gifts. You know, a lot of these gifts are outpouring from you. He gives you these gifts. He puts them into your soul, and then they go out of you. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. That's that going from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Praise is a fruit of the Spirit. And to him that ordereth his conduct aright, will I show the salvation of God. Well, that's the ultimate gift, isn't it? Salvation. Now, could there just be a verse from our recent studies in the letters of Paul when we were going through 1 Timothy that speaks to the application of our gratitude? It's in 1 Timothy 2:1. I'll put the link in the posted copy. I exhort that. This is 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men. One of the nicest things you can say to another person, and if you read back through all of the chat, public chat we've had in here, there's people saying thank you. And in the private chats I'm having in here, there's people saying thank you. It's a wonderful thing to say. You're almost humbled by it, you know, when somebody says thank you. I am always moved by that. The meaning of the phrase is John 16:23. That was in 1 Timothy 2:1 was the end of that particular verse on gratitude. Gift number 11, a day. Today is a gift. There's a neat saying goes along with this. It says, today is a gift from God. That's why they call it the present. So gift number 11 is a day. What does God tell you to do? Live one day at a time. John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, in my name he will give you. We've had this verse already in a previous gift. The meaning of the phrase in that day means the day after Jesus' Christ's resurrection and ascension. What this really means is that from the day of your calling, every day has been a gift compared to what it would have been in this world. So each day you wake up, you have a new gift from God today. Maybe this is why today is called the present. So I did have that in the sermon. Luke 6, beginning in verse 22. Luke 6, beginning in verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So there's going to be people that persecute you, thinking they're doing God a service. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And that reward in heaven isn't you going to heaven, but your reward is currently sitting in there in heaven. The commentary, when they should be hated, discarded, reproached, and anathematized, and leap for joy as if the greatest honor and happiness imaginable has been conferred on them. I always think it to the nth degree on this. This thing about being hated and discarded. Some people in the end time are going to be martyred for God. They're going to be martyred. They're going to go to the guillotine. Now, if that were to happen, and you were being marched off to the guillotine, I would think the thought that would come into your mind is, this is fantastic. Because God is allowing man to kill me, and 1 second later, I'm in the kingdom of God. And if you're going to the guillotine as a martyr for Christ, that's what God wants you to do and to be. Zechariah 14:9, speaking of after the return of Christ, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And you can go all through the Bible, and when it talks about, how am I supposed to survive in this world? Well, it's one day at a time. One day at a time. They even had a TV series called One Day at a Time. And so, and God says, sufficient for today is the things that are going on in your life thereof. Words to that effect. Gift number 12, love. Love. John 13, and I'm going to read verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Well, go back through all those gifts. They're all couched in love, aren't they? You know what this means, don't you? The commandments are also gifts. Love is a commandment, and the commandments are love. Romans 13:10 says that love is the fulfilling of the law. It's also your responsibility with all those gifts that God has given to you. Now, where did the gift of love come from? Well, look at 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, why isn't that verse for the world? Well, it can be if somebody out there in the world stumbles over the concept of love, the principle of love, and embraces it. And they do. Because we all know somebody probably in the world that is a nice person and loves. However, the way that it is said here, and everyone that loveth is born of God, it's talking in a twofold fashion there. It's talking about you are in the salvation process, you have God's Holy Spirit, and you are manifesting love. So this manifestation of love is even to a higher degree than the person in the world who has embraced love. They've embraced a spirit entity, because all of the principles of God are spirit. It's fruits of the spirit. So when a person out there in the world says, I like this love thing, I think I'm going to be a nice person. Well, and then they try to do that. Now, why does God allow that? Hey, you weren't called. What are you doing out there loving people and being nice? It's because God is ultimately leading them to the salvation process. They're going to be easy studies, won't they? They'll be easy when they go into that. So he's introducing the world. All of the principles are floating around out there in the world, and people are bumping into them all the time. And some choose to embrace them. And the ones that don't, you know, actually the ones that don't embrace all this, and they're like evil people. When you see an evil person, doesn't that make you love the principles of God even more? How did God use the gift of love before he gave it to us as a gift to use? 1 John 4:11. 1 John. We're going to do, well, we're in 1 John 4. We're going to be in 1 John 4 for this next verse and the one after that. So I gave you 1 John 4:7. This is 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That goes back to the friends and the family that he's given you as a gift. See how love has to be a part of this? And why do we love God? Why do we love God? Well, it's right there in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Now, who would know that? Anybody with God's Holy Spirit would fully grasp that. That's a point of meditation for you. Now, that's all the gifts that were in the movie. And, of course, in that movie, the ultimate gift was the inheritance that Red left to Jason. But for us, the gifts are even greater than an inheritance of money, gold, and silver. Gift number 13, salvation. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth that his brother have need, we've already done this verse, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Who is the author of this gift of salvation? Who is the author of this gift of salvation? Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We know that salvation is a gift of God, but how is your specific salvation created? 1 Peter 1:9. And I'm going to do a couple of verses there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, that's kind of cool. So I was brought into the salvation process, but he didn't bring us in blind, did he? He's showing us, again, I liken the salvation process to a room. You enter at the door at the rear of the room, and the metaphor is that you proceed through that room to the front wall. Well, when you come in the door, you can see that wall, the front wall. And the metaphor says, if I get to the wall and can put my hand on the wall, I enter the kingdom. So that's when Christ returns. So the teacher will appear at the front of the room, and you'll touch that wall and you become a spirit being in the metaphor. And so he says here in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith. You get to see it. So I don't have to say, why am I in this out? What am I doing again? I need to be reminded every day, what am I doing here? And I don't understand. Where am I going with this? Well, he showed you, 1 Peter 1:9, you received the end of your faith. At the beginning, what power do we need to create salvation? And once again, where does it come from? It's in 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be received at the last time, which is another verse of showing us the end before we get there. You know, they do that on earth too. You know, you're going to take a trip to West Virginia. Here I am sitting in Nevada. I'd like to take a trip to West Virginia. Well, if I'm going to do that, I want to see a map. I want to go on Google Earth. I want to go to West Virginia sites, and I want to see what it is I'm going to. I want to see what's the best time to go to West Virginia. Well, talk to Laura and Shelby in the room. They'll tell you what West Virginia is like. It's a very beautiful place, as a matter of fact. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are appointed. I had asked the question, are we appointed to obtain this gift of salvation, and by whom? Where does it come from again? In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, I become like Christ, like God, by immersing myself in the Word of God. Notice how salvation is tied to the law. Psalm 119. And I'm going to keep you in 119 for a couple of verses. I'm going to keep you in there for three verses. Psalm 119, verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. That done thy commandments means I've made them a part of my life. Because what do commandments do, by the way? What do commandments do? Where do they lead us? All commandments, all of the laws of God lead you to principle, or what we call the fruits of the Spirit. And so you ingest and you learn and you become wise about the commandments, and then God's looking for action. And that's how the commandments are done, because I'm spending my life manifesting the fruits of the Spirit that the commandments point to. Psalm 119, a few verses down. Psalm 119, 174. We just did 166. Here's 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. See, who could be saying that unless he had already seen the end? See, God gives us the end even as we are beginning the salvation process. I want to be at the front of the room. I want to get up there and touch the wall. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Why is the psalmster saying those two things together? Because the law leads him to all these wonderful things that give you all these gifts and then leads you to salvation. Now, what is the opposite of verse 166? Well, let me give you verse 166 again. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. What is the opposite of that verse? Well, it's in 155. Psalm 119, 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not the statutes. They don't seek the law. They don't understand the process. Finally, for this gift, some shouted words from Revelation. So this gift of salvation, Revelation 12 and verse 10, first part of the verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And now the final gift, the ultimate gift, better than what was in the movie, which was just billions of dollars. The ultimate gift is eternal life. Where do I read of eternal life being a gift? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we learned that our salvation was created in the salvation process. Is this how we obtain eternal life? Let me read that again. We learned that our specific salvation was created in the salvation process. So us being in the salvation process will result in salvation. Is this how we obtain eternal life? Romans 2 and verse 7. Romans 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Besides being a gift, is this a promise? This thing, eternal life, this gift, is eternal life more than a gift? Is it a promise? 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. When was this promise made? Titus. And I'll have to put the link on there because we've done that scripture in study. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's when the promise was made, before the world began. How does this gift work? John 5. John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's called a guarantee. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So this has been a brief look. This is just a brief look at the 14 gifts from God. Just how could we say what all these gifts mean to us, and what do they mean to God? Maybe this could best be answered by the words of Eleanor Powell. That's the lady you saw dancing with Fred Astaire before services. And I said Eleanor Powell was going to be in my sermon. Here's what she said. What we are is God's gift or gifts to us. What we become is our gift to God. Let me read that again because I want you to meditate on this today. What we are, and what we are is what God is doing with us in the salvation process. What we are is God's gifts to us. So there you are in the salvation process, getting all these gifts, and now understanding a little bit clear how they all work together. What we are is God's gifts to us. What we become, 2 Corinthians 3:18, what we become is our gift to God. And I want you to think on this. God's never, ever received that gift as yet in his existence. Now, he has received his son, but his son was with him before he came down and divested himself of his Godhead and died and then was resurrected and returned to God. But when we bring up the subject as, has God ever received the gift of a human to the kingdom of God? It's never happened. God is about to experience something he has never experienced. We will become the gift to God, and we become that gift by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ in and through us. So, continue in this life and work on becoming that gift to God.